because we are flexible. We allow it. But welcome, National Treasury. Yeah. Now I'm Tim as well. Honored members, I think that we do have the third quarter analysis. Our third quarter analysis, I hope that we do have those copies with us. What we normally do, we normally make a copy available to to the department so that we don't speak Greek to the department. I understand that both departments are here, but I do not see the DG of the children, Department of Women, Children, and People with Disabilities. Maybe she's still on the way, but we will hear. Okay, but just introduce yourselves. But that to say that, honorable members, I understand that some members are experiencing challenges in terms of their flights to Parliament. However, we will start now, because if we don't do it now, that will catch up with us towards the end. I'm looking at someone whom I suppose is the teacher of communication. I've not met her, but can I get the department to welcome Honorable Lamula? Which one is your department? Children? Thank you very much for coming. I wish that more members could come. In fact, we would like to ensure that all the portfolio committee members do attend this, because the follow up that needs to be done from here can best be done by the portfolio committees. We do our best, but the portfolio committees are best placed to make a follow-up. From the communication side, would you like to introduce your team? Not communication. You can see that my face is looking at the women and children.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Mzolisi Katoni. I'm the Acting Director General for Women, Children, and People with Disabilities. I have my team with me. On my right is Bahumi Matebisi.
If people could just raise hands so that we have an idea who you
okay. Maybe best thing should allow them to introduce themselves.
Sure.
Morning, Chairperson. Morning, members. My name is Bahumi Matebisi. I'm the Chief Financial Officer in the department.
Morning, Chairperson and members. My name is Mbazi Mashibiti, Chief Director of HR.
Mbazi Mashilova?
Shibiti.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Morning, Chairperson and members. I'm Llewellyn Lowe. I'm the Director of Finance in the department.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Let me just say before you
pass. No, we'll come. You will say that.
Okay.
Just allow communication to introduce themselves.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. Just a slight apology, the DJ is on her way. She should be with us in a few minutes.
Okay.
My name is Sam Vilagazi. I'm the acting DDG for Finance and Enterprise Development.
How long have you been acting, by the way?
Chair, it's just slightly over 2 years.
Well, you'll tell us as well. Somebody must tell us what the... it is a public... it's not a Public Service Commission Act, but, yeah, I think what it is in terms of act for people who are acting. You can't act for 20 years. It must come to an end somewhere. Yes, sir.
Morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Robolan Sotat. I'm the Director of Finance. Robolan Sotat.
Okay, Soldat, okay. Uh-huh. No, sorry. You, are you done? Excuse me. Soldat, are you done?
I will repeat my title, Director of Finance at the JOC.
Director?
Finance.
Okay, maybe there's still a CFO. Okay.
Morning, Chair, honorable members. I'm Gertrude Mawela, Deputy Director, Budgets and Communications.
Okay. National Treasury, you want to introduce yourself? See, National Treasury, you find these things working nice. Now you break now. Our cash is here. Okay, you can introduce yourself. And you're working with these departments. Thank you. I don't know, Honorable Lamula, I see in the Department of Women, Children, and People with Disabilities, there are more men than women.
Chairperson, it also surprises me, and I wouldn't know why it's happening like that. I thought we're trying to get the equity right, but we're failing in that too.
Well, no, we will hear. Okay. We'll start with the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities. Now, Mr. Katona, no?
Tony.
Tony.
Yeah, T-O-N-I.
Oh, Umzolisa ka Katoni.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Let me explain, Chair. The DG for the department is off sick, Chair. That's why she is not here. And
you know, when you say the DG is off, I'm looking at the members, they all smile. I don't know, but maybe they will tell you why they smile. Because the last time she was here, she went off sick. Now you're coming back here, she's still sick. Okay.
No, she's sick now, Chair. No, she's in hospital as we speak.
She's in hospital?
Yes, Chair. Yeah. And Chair, maybe let me correct. The department is slightly over 80% women. It's not that we're not meeting equity. It's just that the team that is here seems to suggest that otherwise.
Maybe you shouldn't correct it. I think you're correcting nothing, Mr. Tony. I'm sorry to say.
Okay, Chair.
This department is women.
Children and people with disabilities.
Children. There's no children here. There's no people with disabilities. There's no women. There's only one woman. So you're trying to correct. What
Chair, I am a disabled person.
You are a disabled person.
Yes.
At least yourself. But the people, the majority of people that are here are men anyway. Are male.
Okay.
Honorable Mashifo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would just like to what I'm asking has nothing to do with the composition of them. My concern is the person representing the DG having all the accountable status? Because here we are coming to discuss issues that will need a person who will do follow up and give us the relevant answers that have to do with why we called them to come and present it as in relation to the third quarter. Because when the speaker said he was an acting DG, I thought maybe the DG had resigned. That was the impression I got. It wasn't presented as if she was sick and they were delegated according to that they must come and represent him. Said I'm the acting DG. Maybe that is right. But we just want to know the accountability, because we've learned from this department that whatever we ask from is never being followed up. So we'd like to do a serious work with accountable people, where they are they given all the authority to respond in a way that will be able to follow up.
Yeah, I think that Honorable Mashiko, you're raising an important point. I'm just trying to get the right section here of accountability, of acting, Mr. Tony, in that I think that a senior managers, you know that people act, the acting must be authorized in writing, so that as well, when we get the apology, we know that it's in writing, and then for the issues that the honorable member is raising is because you are you're given the responsibility in writing. Okay, 36. Yeah, 36.3 says I'm not sure why they say the relevant trailer. I think it is not exactly the right one. It's 37 says when an acting officer, but I want the one that says in writing. Because 36.3, for instance, says the relevant treasurer. It's not supposed to be the treasurer exactly here. It's supposed to be the department in exceptional circumstances, approve or instruct in writing that a person other than person mentioned in subsection 2. Subsection 2 talks about the head of a department. This is it's for the provinces. We'll come back to this issue. Because it's important that we must resolve it, so that if you are an accounting officer, you're acting, it's because the acting is in writing. But be that as it may, Mr. Tony, can we ask the department to present? But Comrade Masu.
I might not be aware of what is in the letter. What is the presentation today? What is it based on? Because progress reports for financial year 2011-2012, April to 31st December.
No, we'll come to that completely.
We'll come to that?
Yeah.
Or they are aware that the presentation is about the third quarter?
Now we'll come to that. I'm just going to address that now. We'll come to that. Do you have that invitation to my understanding of the what we have requested the departments to do, and I'm just referring this question both to the Department of Women and Children, Women, Children, and People with Disabilities, is in terms of the Section 32 of the about the third quarter report. But the issues that would really like you to address. I'm seeking now, I'm directing myself to the Department of Women. Is your expenditure as at the end of the third quarter, 31st December 2011. As at that time, you were at 46. No. I think it's a wrong department. It's communications. I want the one for children with. Well, the difference with the other department is that you are spending. There is no doubt about that. But what is the committee, our responsibility as a committee is not only to look at the underspending, but also to ensure that the spending is within the allowed benchmarking. From what we notice that you are kind of overspending at the end of December, for instance. You were at 79%. Now, the worry that we're having with that is that by the end of the financial year, you might find yourself that you have run out of the budget. Now, so the issues that we really would want you to address us on is whether this budget as it stands, you're going to be able to manage it, you know, within the allowed expenditure, what you call the area. So you can address us, that's one. Two, we have Mr. Tony. You have not been in the previous meetings, but the CFO has also been in the previous meetings. The other area of concern with the department is where the department is spending its resources on. In other words, at the Department of Children, of Women, Children, and People with Disabilities, we're expecting that their core areas of spending will be around those areas. And it seems the department seems that it's spending most of their budget on traveling, you know, on current issues rather than on issues that we think that are a core responsibility of the department. So it is really on those two items that we would like you to to invite us, to address us on. And also, I think lastly is the issues that the AG has raised. Because the issues has raised some issues of, from the previous financial year, that is 2010-2011, there was an overspending of about 3.7 million rand, and there was irregular expenditure of 6.6 million. But there were all other issues that are related to supply chain management. Then we would like you to address us then on those issues. Thank you. Over to you, Mr. Tony. Honorable Singh.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues and our visitors. I just wanted to check before the presentation in terms of what's been given to us. When you look at your index of content, I think there's need for a correction there on your index of content. Because up to page 16, what you've got is overall expenditure analysis for the period April 2011 to December 2011. Then from page 17 onwards, you deal with the entire year. So I think you need to correct that, because if one looks at the content page, then you would think that, you know, you are presenting for the entire financial year, whereas your documents inside, from page 3 up to page 16, relate specifically to what we are here for, the third quarter expenditure. So I don't know if the department can comment on that, whether we're right or wrong.
I thought that would allow them to present, and then in their presentation, once they present, then we're able to say, look, this is not what we're looking for, this is what we're looking for. So I think that we must allow you to present. You have received the letter, and then we take it from there.
Thank you, Chair. We really want to appreciate the fact that we have been requested to come and make the presentation to the Standing Committee. And we also have received the actual brief in terms of what we're supposed to come and do. We will attempt to try and address the areas that the honourable members have raised before we made the presentation, and we appreciate the fact that you would want us to make sure that in our presentation we can then address the areas that the honourable member seems to have concerned on. I would, Chair, allow the CFO to make the presentation in terms of what we were requested to do, and we will try, the CFO will try and correct some of the areas that the members have said. I will then give over the chair with further ado to the CFO.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll start with the index of content. I think we got the brief right, just that when we wrote the index of content, we also included the remaining part of the financial year, the last quarter, but we did that in the last slide. basically what we have, as the member has, honorable member has already indicated, we do have the third quarter, up to third quarter report, and then we also have expenditure per program per economic classification, and our four programs are administration, women empowerment and gender equality, children's rights and responsibilities, and rights of people with disabilities. And then, as I've mentioned, we also have a preliminary expenditure as at the end of March 2012. The expenditure from April to December, the overall analysis, on that slide we have it according to the economic classification. Our compensation of employees at that stage was showing a total expenditure of 32 million versus a budget of 34.8 million, which had left the department with a balance of 2.7 million in the for the remaining quarter. And then goods and services, we had a balance of 8 million from the total budget of 46 million as a result of expenditure of 38 million. And then under transfer payments, which are mainly transfers to the CGE, Commission for Gender Equality, we had a balance of 18 million on the transfer payment out of a budget of 55 million. And then on capital expenditure, we had a balance of 361,000 against a budget of 7 million, which was due to the expenditure of 6.7. In total, by the end of the third quarter, the department had a remaining budget of 29 million out of the total budget of 143 million. And then on compensation of employees, if we zoom in on compensation of employees, Chair, compensation of employees broken down per program, we had already, under administration program one, we had already overspent by 2 million. And under women empowerment and gender equality, the department had a remaining budget of 1.9 million. And under children's rights and responsibility, there was an overspend of 471,000. Under rights of people with disabilities, there was a balance of 5.5 million. That then resulted in a balance of 5.2 million for the department in total under compensation of employees. At that stage, Chairperson, we then decided that because we are realizing, the department was realizing that the overspend is imminent. It will happen definitely.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
Yes,
ma'am. You're saying for rights of people with disabilities, you had a balance of how much?
5.5 million, Chair.
Location was?
The allocation was 5.5. Is it a mistake? What happened? Yeah, there's a mistake. Yeah. It's 2.5 million. I got balance. There should be a balance. Yeah, apologies about that. We didn't attach. The expenditure was actually 2.5 million. Yeah, okay. Yes, actually, on the next slide, Chairperson, let's just explain it. Maybe we'll rectify that in the next slide.
Okay.
On the next slide, we do have it on the table. It's showing the expenditure as 2.5 million versus a budget of 5.5, which left the department with a balance of 3 million. Yes. And for the entire department, the balance under compensation of employees for the third quarter then cascaded to 2.763 million. I was explaining that at that stage when we realized that we're going to overspend on compensation, the department then took a decision that there is going to be no further appointments beyond the third quarter. All appointments were then put on hold, and any interviews that were already held were also put on hold. And then under goods and services, her program also. Administration, the support function was already overspending by 1.5 million. Wage had a balance of 6.4 million. Children's Rights had a balance of 379,000. And Rights of People with Disabilities. Rights of People with Disabilities had a balance of 2.7 million. So the total balance as at December under Goods and Services Chair was 8 million for the department. And the next table indicates the breakdown per program. And then we've got the main cost drivers that we try to zoom in on to the main cost drivers per program as shown on the previous slide, on slide number 7. On the next slide, we are trying to demonstrate the main cost drivers that ended up having that picture. Under administration, the main cost drivers there were advertising, mainly advertising for the posts that we had to fill for the financial year. We had audit fees that were also not covered in the budget. Actually, it was covered in the budget, but it was one of the main cost drivers at 1.6 million. Communication issues of 1.8 due to the advocacy issues under administration, supporting the line functions. And then computer services, because we had to set up our IT systems from afresh when we are coming out of the presidency. We had initial costs amounting to 604,000 in the third quarter. And then business and advisory services, we had an amount of 867,970. And then legal costs, we had an amount of 351. Contractors, it's 709, mainly aligned to the events that the department hosts. Personnel agencies, we had an amount of 606. Continuation of the main cost drivers and administration stationery, we had an amount of 1.4 million. Property payments, which is the rental to the rental payments for the building that we are currently occupying when we moved out of the presidency, was 1 million. The TNS travel is 6 million. And we broke it down further in terms of the domestic car rental, air transport domestic, accommodation foreign, and air transport foreign. And then under Program 2, which, Chair, the main cost drivers are also advertising and catering for departmental activities, mainly due to the events that the program hosted. Contractors, mainly around the month of August, as a build-up towards the National Women's Day in August. And then contractors...
May I interrupt? I think that maybe... I understand what the members were concerned about, because with respect, you don't seem to be addressing the concern that you would want to use to do. If you remember, you sent a report at the end of the third quarter to National Treasury for purposes of advertising. And I guess that the DG signed it off. And the DG is supposed to sign off, Mr. Temo. But according to the issue that we thought that you would address yourself about is that according to the report of National Treasury, is that at the end of the third quarter for the administration of Program 1 has spent 46 million or 107%. The report says spending in this program is 15 million higher than projected. The overexpenditure is mainly notable under the ministry and the sub-programs. This is a result of the department employing staff at notches higher than those recommended by public service and administration, as well as employing staff outside the approved establishment. I thought that you would address yourself on those issues, that why is that the public service administration says for government, this is what these are the recommended notches. You and the department employs outside that. Secondly, if you remember, I'm not sure when we last met, where you said to us, you have sent an organogram to the department that has been approved now by National Treasury. The report says you also employ outside that what you call it, organogram. You want to add, Honorable Sash? Yeah?
Yes, the Treasury report also states that there was over expenditure on certain events, which the CFO alluded to. But now she gives us the breakdown, but she doesn't say what the budget was for each of those breakdown points. In other words, did they over expend or did they under expend on those items?
No, but the Treasury report anyway assists us in terms of that. For instance, the issue that we were alluding to at the beginning is that we are expecting you to conform within this benchmark of 75% around that. Now, I will not, for instance, talk about program two, which is mainly about the transfers to the agenda committee.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But it says that, but even the program two says CGE has raised concerns national treasury about the delayed transfer. Because the understanding is that entities like CGE, once we pass the budget, we know the budget, what is the budget of CGE is going to be this next year, 2013, 2012, and so forth and so forth. So once passed, not even once passed, the PFMA allows the entity or the department, thank you very much, or PFMA allows whether the entity or the department to use 45% of that much so that they don't get stuck because the money have not been, the budget has not been passed. But what it says is that you, CGE, is accusing you of delaying this transfer. Now, you see, there is an anomaly in the whole thing, which is not necessarily your responsibility, but is that CGE is a Chapter 9, by the way, institution. It's not necessarily supposed to be falling under the women and children. But for purposes of budgeting, it falls under yourself. But you're not supposed to delay the transfer. It's their money they are entitled to. It has nothing to do with the administration of the department. But now they have raised concern that you're delaying the transfer. We would like you to address yourself to those issues. But before you do that, Honorable Singh.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to the CFO. So what the CFO is doing is presenting us with figures. Our responsibility in this committee is to ask questions. Why? Like you correctly say. And maybe we should deal with it in and categorize it. For example, the... Hello. The one category is compensation. Because I think that is an area of great concern. I mean, it's well and good on slide 5, page 5, to say that there will be a projected overspending of 12 million rand, which was already communicated to Treasury. I mean, that's well and good to tell us that. But, like you said, was there an organogram? Is there an HR plan? Was the HR plan followed? Because if you have a budget at the beginning of the year that you're going to employ 100 people at 100,000 rand per year, then that's what you should be doing. Did they employ people according to those notches? Did they overpay those people? And in addition to the overspend, if you look at the programs, you'll find consultants, professional business and advisory services. You'll find consultants for legal costs. So the whole human resources component expenditure of this department is a lot of money, and they are overspending. So we'd like to really get them to spend some time telling us about the human resource plan, the organogram, the expenditure, the notches, And if you say that you're not going to employ people in the third quarter, I mean the fourth quarter, that means you're going to be understaffed in terms of what you set out as objectives in the beginning. So can we have a discussion on that particular aspect? Thank you.
Yeah, President, thanks to that, I didn't know, I'm not certain if Honorable Member Singh mentioned it, but the organicum they have, was it approved by, if they have one, was it approved by Public Service Commission? And what is the guidelines when it is approved by Public Service? Must they respect it or can they just move away from that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. In other words, I think that, Mr. Tony, the message is very clear. It says that we have spent outside these guidelines. Yeah. But now the issue is, I think that we should focus more just to, so that within the time, limited time that we have. Why is it that you're doing these things outside these guidelines? But the other part, Mr. Tony, I'm very happy that you also part of this, is that when we met this department last year, we raised the issue of the spending on Program 4, which is about people with disabilities. It's understanding that I'm very glad that there's someone there, at least who can ensure that there's direction on that program, you know. Okay, you can help us.
Thank you, Chair. We appreciate the guidance from the Honorable Members, Chair. I think it's, I will allow the CFO and the Chief Director, HR, to respond on some of the key questions. But I think, Chair, it's important for us to understand that when we were established as a department, we were hosted at the presidency. And the presidency was taking responsibility in terms of the HR or administrative matters. So we were focusing more on programming. And that around July, we were asked to move out of the presidency to go into the new offices at Hamilton. And some of the issues that confronted us were issues that were not necessarily anticipated by the department. However, because we were now in a new established department, we had to find our own identity. So in moving out of the presidency, we had to look at issues of compliance in terms of the capacity that we have. So I would allow the Chief Director and the HR and CFO to respond on the key issues, but I think it's important for we were presented with some kind of an awkward situation where we had to make sure that whilst we are moving out of the presidency, the most of those areas like administrating that were done by the presidency were now handed over to us. Issues of IT, we had to deal with those. Issues of security. So all of that, we were supposed to deal with them. But I think the CFO would actually respond on the key questions that were asked.
No, they want to help you, Mr. Tony, just before the CFO responds. Please help Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson.
And Honorable Lamela will come after you.
When we met them for the third quarter last year in March, the department, yes, 2011, they had a vote of 2010-2011. That's when they had their own vote and were legally not under presidency anymore. They had their own vote then. So 2010, 2011, they had their vote. 2011, 2012, they had their vote. And it seems they're still telling us what they told us last year in March when we called them for the third quarter of 2010, 2011.
I think the acting deputy just needs to enlighten me on what was said in our committee last week. That was exactly my question to the minister. The deputy minister answered me, and I wrote it down. And I was wanting to know why this department is still not up and running after 3 years. And the answer was to me, in the first year, because it's now 3 years, and I'm very concerned that we only have 2 years left before our term ends, and we're not really moving, especially on disabled persons. On the first year, the deputy minister said, they concentrated on policy matters. On the second year, the department concentrated on HR. And now only in the third year, IT was transferred out of the presidency to the department. And even when she called me after the incident that happened in the committee to apologize to me, she mentioned that again. And if our chairperson allowed her perhaps to elaborate on this issue, we would have understood this clearly. Now I also don't understand at all. Thank you.
The difficulty, Mr. Tony, I think as the members are saying, is that, I did indicate earlier that we're seeing you for the first time, but we're familiar with the other faces. Now, the issue is you may not be familiar with what they said yesterday, as the members are reminding us, but look, last year you said you were here. Now, some of the other things made that honorable members have not mentioned was that National Treasury had seconded people to yourselves to assist. And we were informed at the meeting that Honorable Mashiko is referring to that from the first of May 2011, that's when Madam Mahomi was appointed. You know, we're familiar with this department. We're familiar. All that we want to help you to do is you to be frank with us so that we can be able to assist you to resolve this matter, not only in your interest to ensure we want this department to be up and running, to be working. But there are challenges. You know what the Auditor General is saying? The Auditor General is saying part of challenges outlined by our report. I don't know if I made it. Have you given them the copy of this report? No, I've got them here. You're saying leadership. Effective leadership culture, oversight responsibility, HR management, and in other words, the issues that the AG raised, policies and procedures, action plans, and IT governance, financial and performance. Some of the, what you call the supply chain management challenges. Again, Treasury has got guidelines in terms of all these things. So, now, the issue is, I would really, honourable members, want us to try to wind now but I want us to have a way forward, maybe to spend our valuable time on the way forward about the department. Problems are clear. I'm not sure if we are getting you able to assist us to be able, so that we should say what is it that the department needs to do in order to be able to move forward. National Treasury has raised the issues of a department is not employing according to guidelines. Both of National Treasury, of the Public Service Commission, is not employing within its own, what you call it, organograms. And those are the issues that I think that, because we would want to hear communications. Communications, I don't know whether it's still in the ICU. I'm not sure if they're out of the ICU. We need to address those issues. What is it that you are doing? Last year, the department spent 67% at the end of the financial year. No, I'm sorry, it's not you. I'm talking about, you see, there are two departments here. But last year, there was an over expenditure as well. And this year, they are the same. I really want to us to come to a way forward. I'm not sure if the department is assisting us, honorable members. You want to respond?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I need to also, just to add on what the acting DG has said, that at the beginning, when the ENE for 2011 was crafted, the structure of the department was not yet in place. It was not yet approved by the DPSA. Therefore, the allocation that was given to us by the Treasury was, I think it was based on the offices, the previous offices that were still in the presidency then. And subsequently, the structure was approved beyond that. I think my colleague will then further explain what happened from there. And 10-11, indeed, Chairperson, is true. We had a vote for 10-11. By that time, the corporate services support was still within the presidency. So we're still being supported finance, supply chain, HRM, we're supported by the presidency. And then in July 2011, that's when presidency said, we've carried you enough, now you need to be on your own. Then we started, we're still building the capacity for support function. Then when we went on our separate in terms of corporate services, we then had to set up our HRM, we had to set up our supply chain, our finance, and our IT infrastructure. That's when we realized that actually the allocation that we had for 11-12 was not sufficient to carry us for corporate services. By the way, Chairperson, we needed to comply with issues on HRM issues, DPSA issues. We needed to comply with reporting requirements by the Treasury. We needed to report on the segregation of duties within supply chain environment to avoid fraudulent activities. So those were all the pressures that we encountered, which were not accounted for or were not provided for in the budget. So we found ourselves having to employ people with the limited resources that we had in order to ensure that we comply with the issues of compliance within our environment. And then on the AG issues, Chairperson, the regular expenditure that was identified, what happened there was that the department used money on capital allocation to defray current expenditure without going through the Treasury, the Department of Treasury, yes. And then subsequently, we then submitted an application to the Treasury to condone, which Treasury then condoned in the 11-12 financial year. It was condoned after the closure of the year. So I think I can end here because I need my colleague to just elaborate further on the compensation issues that the chair wants.
Before we get to that, you know, every year the Treasury releases reports. It comes to Parliament, addresses members of Parliament. You know, the other issue that they raise is the issue of cooperation from the side of the senior management. I'm talking about the auditor general. They raise that issue of cooperation because they would not want to give you the kind of report that they are giving. I think from their side, they are trying to be very generous. They want everyone to get an unqualified report. But senior management do not come to the party. So they decide based on the documentation that is in front of them. Even on those reports of supply chain management, guidelines, and whatnot. Now, all of that I'm trying to say, madam, I hear what you're saying about the approval being done later on. But I'm sure if there was, if the Auditor General was given something that says, look, we've made an application to National Treasury, and these are the discussions that we're busy with, National Auditor General would definitely have taken that into account when they compile the final report. So I'm saying those things do not reflect in the report of the Auditor General. So you want to report on the HR?
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and members. HR plan obviously was the issue, but now has been resolved, submitted to DPSA. All appointments are made in terms of the HR plan from after we submitted on the 30th of September last year, because HR at any rate was established on the 1st of September last year. So we've taken care of all those things and issues raised by the Auditor General. One of it was the establishment of the audit committee. The audit committee is in place. The constraint now is the appointment of the director, internal audit, because of budgetary constraints. It has been raised by the auditors, especially in even in your steering committees with them. So the auditor is the director, the internal audit, we're interviewing this coming Friday. So the governance issue will be taken care of by the audit committee members are in place. So appointments outside the salary level, what basically happens? You are blending the experience. You have people who are already in the public service, obviously, with not in minimum notches and stuff like that. And as and when they come, not necessarily they were outside the DPSA guidelines. It's only then the salary ranges, but not necessarily in the minimum notches, but they were within the salary ranges of the SMS and other categories. Well, everything now moving forward in terms of those solutions that we're talking about, everything is in place now because HR, like we're saying, it was housing the president, everything now is in order. We're engaged with DPSA, even the new guidelines at DPSA coming from this April, their development, their organizational structure. We're engaging with them, our minister and the minister of DPSA at concert meeting. In fact, we'll have another meeting at a revised organizational structure. We're arranging a meeting with the minister. So moving forward, everything is in place from the HR perspective, and the internal audit it's in place now. Thanks.
Sorry, Honorable Singh, we didn't hear that.
Haven't we heard that one before? We're not getting specific answers, Chair.
Yeah, now we're going to add the winding. Honorable Mashiko.
Thank you, Chairperson. The speaker says...
What is your name, sir?
Mr. Shibiri said.
Not Shilawa, Shibiri.
That's what I said. I said Shibiri.
Shibiri.
So, spoke about people employed outside. The normal. Those who will take more, I don't know if that's outside salary level. So I want to relate this outside. You refer to them as people with more experience. Yes. So we have an item here on consultants. I think professors, business and advisory services are people outside the type of people you are referring to. And these people have an amount of 867,000 here on this page. Is this a separate allocation, separate from the outside salary level issues? Where are they separate from consultants? Because if you have consultants, and we have people outside salary levels, I would like to know the difference between the two. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The fact of the matter is, Chair, that this department, in terms of page 17, they say the overall expenditure of the department will exceed the budget by nearly 22.8 million. Is that correct? Now, Chair, if that's, you know, that is mainly as a result of the compensation of employees. And, you know, it's not only a question of appointing people above the notches, but there were also people appointed outside the organogram. That is what National Treasury tells us. Now, you know, if I write out a check and I haven't got money or funds in the bank knows what to do with me. Now, surely, if you're going to appoint people with more experience and you have to put them at higher notches, you've got to freeze your appointments earlier. You can't just carry on and spend money as if it's, you know, it's unlimited. I mean, you just carry on and you expend your budget or overspend your budget by 22 million. It's not acceptable. People cannot work like that with taxpayers' money. You cannot work like that. You've got to be responsible, and I'm afraid responsibility was not displayed in this case, Chair.
Thank you very much. All right, members. The issue, Mr. Shibiti, is... you know, when these reports, our understanding is that when these reports are compiled, if you look at the third quarter report and look at the other departments, you'll find that these reports are not the same because they get information from yourselves and they try to work within that. They try to work with you. National Treasury has got in September, for instance, as a person who's working with this department. But I would like him to assist us to say, what is National Treasury doing to assist here? Because in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, National Treasury must assist the department. By the way, before Mama was appointed, National Treasury had deployed, had seconded a person there to act in the field. That person was chucked out. So it's not that National Treasury at the time also was doing nothing, you know. But the understanding was that, according to report, the DG came to us and said, no, everything now is in place. But what I would like you, National Treasury, to tell us is, what is it that you're doing to assist this department? And also, what is going to happen with the over expenditure? So the Public Finance Management Act does not allow build up. If people understand, Mr. Tem.
Two things that you're
there are two things that I would like to say. The first one relates to what we have done within here to try to deal with this matter of the expected over expenditure by the department. We've had meetings with the accounting officer to alert them to what we were seeing quite early, that the department was going to over spend. And we did have the understanding during the year, quite early in the year, that they were going to, the department was going to try to spend within the budget. The department is not spending within the budget. So going forward, public finance and the Office of the Accountant General are going to work to are working together as we speak within the National Treasury to try to understand the actual underlying factors behind this unauthorized expenditure, this over expenditure. And we're going to recommend measures that will need to be put in place to help the department to spend within the budget. So I'm part of that team that is meeting, and we're going to engage with the department to try to understand. There must be some underlying factors that we probably will be able to isolate and try to work out measures to help them to. We have started. We certainly have engaged with the department, but within the Treasury, we have started. I have met with the Office of the Accountant General and people also from the Legal Services Unit within the Treasury, because there may be legal implications associated with some of the measures that may be proposed. So that's how we look at this matter.
Honourable Member, you can intervene any time. But the issues of HR, not just issues of financing, the issues of HR. The report says they've employed outside the guidelines. You can shake your hand, Mr. Shibuti. This report was signed off by the DG. You should not be shaking your head to me. You should be shaking it to your DG as to why did she sign off the what you call this report. In fact, if she was here, we would be asking her if she did sign off it. That's why Honorable Mashiho said at the beginning that we have a concern that people who are not accounting officers, they come here. Because we don't want people who are not accounting officers to come and account for something they don't know. We want the accounting to hold accounting officers responsible, and no one else in the sector. In fact, that's what you call a what is that Republic PFMA? The PFMA, the clause that I was looking for is on the executives. What is that? Chapter 7, eh? Clause 63.2. Which says the executive authority responsible for, it's 64.3, ne? 64.3, executive directives having financial implications. Any person of the executive authority to proceed with implementation of the directive and the reasons for decision must be in writing. And the accounting officer must promptly file a copy of this what you call. So that's why we're asking for the what you call it for the copy of those delegation of power. So, Mr. Shibuti, you're shaking your head because what we are saying is not correct. No, I'm saying so. This report, in other words, you're shaking your head because this report of the National Treasury is wrong. I don't know. I want to understand the purpose of you shaking your head when I'm speaking about the report of National Treasury. And what I'm saying is here. If you're saying so, it is not true, you must tell us, you must tell this house that it's not true what you're saying. Is that the reason why you're shaking your head?
Amongst all the departments that we have met with, all of them have different challenges. But when it comes to this department, it's really, you don't know, I don't know what further questions you should ask. And I think we should stick to this thing. You should leave your, I know you are patient and try to assist. But once the DGs are not here and you are not told in advance, and when we are seated here before they present they come and tell you that the DG is not here, you don't take that department. It's worse with the department. I sympathize with the DG, but since I came here, whenever the DG is here, he's sick. I've met the DG twice presenting. She has been sick throughout, meaning that she then needs somebody who is going to assist her all the time, because it's clear that she has problems of health, of which it's something that is beyond our control. But we need somebody who is going to be assisting in that office full time, so that when they come here, present the things that we have asked them to do. They are completely out of order. I mean, you look at this report, you look at the auditor general's remarks, you look at the report, you look at the expenses. I mean, you are told that there are things that were not, the budget was not enough. But if you can sit here and ask where if the budget was not enough, the overspending that they have made, have they made it to deal with the issues that were not catered for in the budget? I don't know, Chair. But I would want to know from the gentleman from Treasury, when they are looking for these underlying factors, what are these? What exactly are they looking for? Because they have guidelines in the Treasury of how the monies must be used. It's clear that they are not satisfied by the manner in which the department is using the money. Which other factors that they are suspecting that they are there, except what is that they see, so that they assist us? Really, don't understand the factors. You have your own guidelines that have been flouted now and again. Now, what is that you are digging for? I don't understand that. Maybe you should unpack the underlying factors that you suspect. I don't know what that. It's a big English word for me that does not really assist me.
And part of the question, Rav Mashiko says, there are these people who have got this experience, wealth of experience they have. But Honorable Mashiko says that they still continue outside them to engage consultants to be doing the work of these experienced people. So that is a problem that we faced with. In other words, the issue really, what are these issues? And you have already indicated that you have begun to engage with them. Is that enough, just engaging with them? You're sitting at National Treasurer's Office, you're calling meetings, so is that enough? Is it addressing the issue?
We are going to go into the actual specifics of the appointments that took place. And the financial management systems that were used to make these appointments, and the extent to which decisions were made deliberately or unknowingly to make appointments outside the budget. Is it a question of lack of understanding of the law? Is it a question of willful, deviation from the law and so on? And for each one of these questions, surely there will be, there should be measures, there should be recommendations that should flow, and they'll be very specific. So that's what I mean, Honorable Member. We want to go now deeper into the actual arrangements that have led to the over expenditure 2 years in a row.
I think that we would want to Community Union, Comrade Mashiro.
Can the treasurer give us a deadline? Because I think the more he explains, the more he's inviting more questions. Unless the treasurer is also fumbling, because when they get these reports, they should be in a position to know that this is against what, this is against the guidelines. This department has a number of consultants, and I would think that the consultants are doing the work of the people who are not there, or doing the work of the people who are there but have no capacity. You've got a huge amount for legal, that goes to legal people. So all those things, we will waste time if we want these things to be unpacked. And for Treasury to come here and tell us, I mean, this thing has been happening for the, I don't know for how many years, since I've been in this committee, we had problems with this department. Now, all I need, Chair, the Treasurer must give us deadline so that we give them the benefit of the doubt that really they are going to identify these underlining what?
Factors,
yeah, underlining factors, and then that must give us the way forward. So it can't take too long, Chair, because for us as the committee, really, we don't need any underlining factors. We don't have to check. We look at what we're given, we look at the guidelines of Treasury, then we know what is wrong. And the AG has identified number of issues that are wrong. It didn't have to go and form a team that is go. He just looked at the thing and then know what is going wrong. So let's give this treasury, but the time, the benefit of the doubt, to give us this, the report, but it must have deadlines. And I think before we see this department again, the treasury must give us this report.
Thank you, Chairperson. And I also appeal to the National Treasury and the Department that they shouldn't put us in a position that will leave us feeling guilty, because we as members of Parliament and as representing Parliament on this committee, we are representing people out there. We are representing those people with disability, children, and women, of all those programs you've written there. And you are the committee assigned by law, Money Bills Act, to appropriate. Should you stand there and debate and appropriate things that you know are not benefiting the people, we look at the expenditure on people who need the money. We don't see it. We look at traveling. We see over expenditure. We look at advertising. Why we asked you to submit reports on breakdown of your traveling, you didn't do it. Breakdown of advertising and people you outsource to, you never gave this committee that report. And you want us to stand there and among our appropriation debate say we appropriate everything. I don't think we are still in a position to do that, especially when the people who look at us representing them don't get the benefit of everything except traveling. And we want to see, we don't say don't travel. Travel, but having attended to all those people. When you go up there, you don't just go and sign. You sign things that you know are happening back here in South Africa, in the corner of the rural area, in Tzaneen, everywhere, that you are happy that every person belonging to this department is benefiting. So how are we going to stand there and tell the people we are representing, that we are appropriating the money allocated to this committee. I think this, following up on what Honorable Yengeni said, that report must come before we see you. We don't know that we are going to see you before the appropriation debate in June, because that's what might happen, because our conscience won't allow us to every year appropriate money that will just go to the wrong programs and not to the programs that affect the poorest of the poor in South Africa. That's what we should know about. And the National Treasury should assist us when allocating this budget to you, because we don't want to say, whoa, Minister, stop. This money can be appropriated. We want National Treasury to be fair and look at our budget and say, no, 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 this is not right. Let it assist us. Thank you.
Honourable
Swart. Chief, if I understand the PFMA correctly, you know, over expenditure of this nature is regarded as wasteful expenditure, and it must come off the next year's budget. So this department already starts with a shortage. In other words, they've already spent into next year's budget, but they're not going to be able to save it unless something is done, you know, in conjunction with Treasury, so that we can approve the budget properly for the 12-13 financial year, which we're now going to debate. What we're going to say, you know, if they haven't got that extra money, because they've appointed people at higher notches, they've appointed people outside the organigram, so the admin and the traveling and the consultants are still going to be overboard all the time unless they do something about it. So the department is starting with a shortage, and we as a committee have to approve that budget. And where do we sit at the moment, you know, like Honorable Mashego says, we're not seeing the results that we can approve that budget and assist the department to do so.
Mr. Tony, I think that, you know, Honorable Mashego really has said it mouthful, that these departments are not created for the sake of having another department, you know. It's because there is an objective that government wants to achieve. It's saying that the women are not being catered for enough, children, people with disabilities. But if you look at the budget of the department, administration is budgeted, I don't know, what is this percent? In other words, about 60% or of the budget is going to administration. So if you take out that CGE, what you call a budget, I'm sure it will go to 60%, 70% is going to administration. And that is the issue, Mr. Tembo, that we keep on asking from National Treasury. Why don't we have an administration that is some uniformity? You know, I'm saying some. It can't be what you call a uniform, you know. Now, the issues that are not supposed to be in administration, you find them in administration, you know. Honorable Mashego says the core function of this department are the issues of women here in South Africa who are suffering. Issues of children, issues of people with disabilities. You know? But the bulk of the expenditure is going to administration. So why is it this case? And this one, of the what we regard ourselves, we see as core function, are understanding. People with disabilities are at 51% at the end of the third quarter. Now, I think that I agree with the members that we also don't just want to see, Honorable Yengeni, the results of what Mr. Tembo, National Treasurer, is saying. We must see the plan. I think that the portfolio committee must also see that plan. So how do we turn around this department? We can't every day come here and lament and lament. It's got a budget of 146 million. So what is it spending on this budget of 146 million? So we can't do that. We want to see the plan that you're talking about. So you must tell us this is the plan, so that we can also, with the portfolio committee, so all of us can see that this plan is going to work. We want this department to succeed, but it must be properly what you call assisted. But also, you see, Mr. Tony, no? I want you to say the last word. Do you have you got any comment to make before we close now? Sure.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I really want to say that as a department, we would want to make sure that the issues that the members have raised are dealt with effectively. We want to take responsibility about the issues that are of weakness in the way that we have implemented up until the third quarter, and we have started doing that with the Treasury. And we would want to cooperate with the suggestion that is made by the Treasury. We, as Honorable Lamula has said, that last week we were presenting the strat plan and the annual performance plan to the portfolio committee. And it's in our attempt to make sure that we can, there were issues that were raised of concern, but also we got some encouragement in terms of how we seek to improve the current situation that the Honorable Chairperson has spoken to. So we are committed, Honorable Chair. I really want to seriously apologize if we had demonstrated any disrespect to this committee, Chair, and that's not our intention. And we currently, Chair, I mean, the acting position that I'm in now has been sanctioned by the minister in writing because we're not sure when the DG would be able to come back. So we also want to apologize for not informing the committee in good time about the fact that DG is off sick, and it's not in a sense to undermine your committee, Chair. And I think when we will also make sure that part of the issues that the chairperson is saying, that the honourable member is saying, that we have not provided the information that was needed earlier to explain some of those overspendings. I want to make the undertaking, Chair, out of the processes that has also been agreed, we will submit a report that detailed some of the areas that the committee needed. I want to thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much. I think that the honourable member, the report that she was asking is that it's a report that we had asked for before and promised that we would be given those reports. All that she was saying was that we have not received those reports. But what we are saying now, in closing, is that we would want you to give us your plan with National Treasurer of a turnaround. We do appreciate the fact that you are a new department. You will definitely encounter challenges as a new department. But you're not the only new department. That's why, I mean, for you, you're better placed than any other department, because you're new, you don't carry a baggage like the other department. So you should be able to say, in these guidelines, these are the organogram. In the organogram, other department, new department, they say this year we're going to employ up to this level. But that organogram must be informed by the core functions of this department. So the other things are not that important, your administration, your traveling, or what. We would like the people, the women in the rural areas, the children there that are suffering there, to be able to feel that there is this, at last, there's a department that has got their interest. If we could make that the people, the ordinary people there on the ground, to feel this, that's all that we would like to, would love to see. That's why we're saying this turnaround strategy that you're having. So, now, unfortunately, we're in another year now. This is the end of April. We're in May now already. We need to see this, what you call the September,
we must see this turnaround strategy. Otherwise, it will not only be from yourselves, it will be with them to say, what is it that you intend doing? The things that Mr. Shibiti, we were saying about that, and I'm sorry that, you know, the problem with the department, unfortunately, Mr. Tony, is that the department thinks that they know what the members want to hear. If you approach it like that, you're not going to help yourselves because you think you know what we want to hear. You mustn't know what we want to hear. You must tell us what the reality is there, so that we must assist you to ensure that the department is up and running. So that turnaround strategy for this department, we're not going to see them for the first quarter, but we want you to come with that turnaround strategy for the department, work with, in consultation with the department. I guess the public service public service and administration, I think that they are involved, so that there's a proper employment. We can't, what you call it, continue like this. We, in no way, you must feel comfortable, Mr. Tony. We don't say that you're disrespecting us in any way. If we implied that, we apologize, but we understand. All that we're saying is that the department cannot continue like this. See, the worst part, Honorable Swart says now, because there is no bailing out, it means that now you're spending what you spend for the financial year up to March, 31st March 2012, is already impacting on this budget. It will continuously to do so. It must be arrested somewhere. We cannot continue like that. Well, thank you very much. You are released. But before you go, Mr. Tembo, when can you get this this turnaround strategy? Are you working on it? Or because member said we want time frames, you know, so that even if we don't invite them, we know that something is happening.
We are working on it. Before we look at the fourth quarter extension, we will have
time. Okay. Okay, honorable members, now I said they are working on it. When they come for the first quarter report, they will bring it for the fourth quarter report. They will bring that turnaround strategy, worked with the Department of Shield of Women, Children and People with Disabilities, and the Public Service and Administration. Okay, thank you very much. Shall we take, honored members, a 5 minute break so that we allow the communications to set themselves up to communicate with us? Yes. Is it BA or MA? BA, Bahume. Okay. But have you
Thank you.
our best wishes to the Fiji to for a speedy recovery. Yeah? We wish all the best. Honourable members, shall we reconvene?
Shall we communicate?
Yes. How about this, Ramadan? Honourable members, good day. You know, we have a short day because 2 o'clock we must start another program. Let me take this opportunity to extend a special welcome to the department led by the DG, HESAP. I hear DG people speaking about getting it from the horse's mouth. I don't know if you're the horse, but that's what the people normally say. Thank you very much for coming. I know that communication is a very busy department. We have a lot of entities. The pitch is a sharp steward for the portfolio, because during the break,
I was saying to her, I was telling her that we had invited the portfolio committee. But she told me that the portfolio committee is busy with SADC. And I see the secretary there is nodding her head as well. It's fine. But welcome, Tiji. We're meeting you for the first time. Would you want to introduce your team?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you, members. The team consists of Mr. Sam Villagazu, the acting DDG for Finance Enterprise Development, on my right. And on my left, we have Director for Finance, which is Mr. Roland Soldat. And behind us, we have Mrs. Gertrude Mawela, Deputy Director for Finance. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Pichi. Sorry, Ms. Mawela, the break was too short. But thank you, all members. I'm informed that the person who, from National Treasury who deals with the department is not around today. He was here last week when we were dealing with water affairs. Mr. Peterson, you are there. But now, you helped me making mistakes when I was, so that I was dealing with Department of Women, Children, and People with Disabilities, when some of the figures that we are quoting were actually for communication. Honourable members, I think we're going to have at least an easier meeting now. We're dealing with a specialist in communication. There is a Department of Communication. But let me speak now. The department has a challenge. I know there's a gentleman, I'm not going to tell you his name. He was acting as a teacher there. He told us, was it last year or the year before last? No. Some of the things that the old teacher put in place now, we're going to turn around because we have a mandate and whatnot. Now we have you now. You are inheriting a department that if we are in hospital, I'm sure some would say that is in the ICU. You know, the last time the department spent well, according to the department standard, if you can, with that report on page 18, was in 2009-2010 financial year, at the end of the third quarter. To us, the third quarter is the most important quarter, because it really gives us the feeling of what to expect following the fourth quarter. We know fourth quarter, all the departments, they spend 100%. But third quarter assists us as to how these departments get to spend 100% when at the end of the third quarter they have not been able to spend after 9 months. But as in 3 months' time, departments are able to spend well. In 2009-2010, department spent at the end of the third quarter, it was 62.5%. Following year, 2010-2011, 45%.
2011-2012, 46%. We'll not be surprised, DG, if you tell us in your input that now, at the end of April, at the end of the fourth quarter, in other words, at the end of the financial year, we're at 100%. That's what everybody tells us, that there's a magic wind between December and January, that all of a sudden springs up, that has not been there for 9 months, but 3 months' time, people are able to spend what they could not spend over 9 months. Now, we have invited you to the department to tell us what is it that you're going to be doing. First, what are the challenges? Why is the department continuing to understand? And what is it that you're going to do to turn things around? I mean, there are certain specifics, for instance. Some of them revolve around your call centers. We were told that now there were one shelf and brought back from the shelf. Again, we don't know what's happening because there is no spending. But the bad part of it is that it's not a program, I don't know, that they continue to get money every year. It's increased. Honorable Nashiko says we are required to go to the house and say that we approve this budget. We must approve it because we think that you're going to be able to spend, not just for the sake of approving it. In fact, last year, at the end of the year, the department spent 67% of the budget. That was 2010-2011. Now, there are challenges. You know,
Honorable Chairperson. There are just a few things that I would just like to say before maybe we start with the actual presentation. We do take note and acknowledge that there was a point where the department was indeed in ICU, but I'm definitely confident, and my colleagues can confirm that we believe that the department is definitely out of ICU. We have not healed completely. There are still certain critical areas that we are working on that we believe would assist us to get to a point where, which is what we always say, where the department would no longer be a department where people, when they talk about the department, it's an area of concern. But there is definitely good progress, and we'll be able to demonstrate that this in our presentation. Maybe just as a point of clarification, I know that my colleague Stan, he's appeared here before as acting DDG for finance, and there has been a concern raised in terms of the duration of his acting. The reason why it has taken longer for us, I guess, to get to this point is that we started the process of organizational review in 2009, and members will recall that we are one of the departments in the last 2 years, the 2 years where we had three ministers, where in 2009 we had the former Minister Nyanda. In 2010 we had the former Minister Pariyash, and now we have Minister Pule. Obviously, throughout that process, there has been a little bit of impact in terms of finalizing of some of those things. But we can confirm to the members that the organizational structure was approved by with concurrence of GPSA. It was last year in July. And following that, we finalized the non-SMS structure. DPSA, they only approved the SMS layer. We then finalized the non-SMS, which has been approved, Minister.
Don't put a lot of, what is acronyms.
Oh, okay.
Because we may get lost, you know. Other than the thing that you want to SMS them. I'm one of those. Okay, you may continue.
But the structure that was approved in concurrence with public service and administration is the senior managers, that is director upward. And following that, we then finalized the non-SMS, which is your deputy director and below, which was also approved by the minister. So we have an approved structure on the table. And since then, and in parallel to that, is that there has been adverts that we've already started with. For example, last year we advertised two DDG positions, that is the DDG for Policy and DDG for Information Society. And I can confirm that we already have, with the concurrence of Cabinet, appointed DDG for Policy. And the second DDG position is in the process of being finalized. During March 2012, we advertised two DDGs, which is the one where Sam is acting is DDG for SOEs, and also we advertise the DDG for administration. So by end of June, we should have confirmed that. And also during April 2012, we also advertised the last DDG position, which is the DDG position that I was occupying before, DDG for ICT infrastructure. And we've also advertised the CFO. That's one of the reasons, the challenges that we had. The CFO, it was in April. Yes, we've advertised the CFO in April. The reason why we've only advertised it in April is because the CFO position was one of the pending disciplinary cases, and the matter has been concluded, and then following that, we've then advertised the position. So these are the critical layers in terms of stabilizing the department, but also part of the challenges that we've had, especially with our finances, is the fact that we did not have a permanent CFO on board. But with all these positions, we believe that by end of June, we would have confirmed all the DDGs, and then we would also have confirmed the CFO. But over and above that, there are a number of chief directors, positions and directors that we are also in the process of appointing, and adverts would be being are finalized in the next week or two. Some of the critical positions will deal with things like your digital migration, your broadband, and all that. So in a nutshell, Honorable Chairperson, there is definitely a process underway to stabilize the department. Tammy, if we can just go to the next slide. The overview of the presentation is as follows. We've dealt with the delegation and the second issue is the introduction. And then we would give members a presentation on the 2011-2012 budget versus expenditure. And then we would also give a sense of the expenditure, which was reflected on page 18, that is as at 31 December 2011. And then we would then go into the details of the expenditure, that is of 31 December 2011. And then we would also focus on the transfers and subsidies to our SOEs, and also give a sense of the budget and versus expenditure as of 31 March 2012. What we can confirm, Honorable Chairperson, is that even though we were not able to show or demonstrate or provide a substantial increase of expenditure as of 31 December 2011, we were, however, able to show an expenditure as of 31, an increased expenditure as of 31 March 2012. You recall that the previous financial year we were sitting at 67%, but this time around, end of 31 March 2012, we're sitting at 89%. It's correct that we're not able to achieve 100%, but we were at least able to demonstrate a substantial increase from what we had originally. What I would want, therefore, to do, Honorable Chairperson, is to hand over to Sam, who is the acting CFO, to therefore deal with the numbers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DG. Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Chair, we're going to take the members and the Honorable Chair through the numbers. But I wouldn't want us to focus more just running through the numbers and the percentages, but rather to deal with the science behind those numbers as to what is really driving those numbers and where the numbers have not been met, what were the reasons, so that the Honorable Chair and members can get a sense of and also appreciate some of the challenges that we may be faced with as a department. I think on slide number 5, Chair, the slide gives an overall picture in terms of the breakdown of the departmental budget. We have three categories there, current payments, which constitutes 30% of the budget. So basically this would relate to the operational expenditure in the department as well as projects. Then we have the transfers and subsidies. They make up 70%. Now, this is the money that goes to all the entities, SABC, CASA, Centec, NEMISA, USASA, and all the like. Then we have a payment of capital assets. That is just mainly for internal use. That then gives us a total budget of 2 billion. That is now for 11-12. So basically, Chair, if you look at the makeup of this budget, the bulk of it goes to the entities, and really that's where most of the work is involved. In terms of the actual expenditure as at December 2011, the figures are reflected there, and that's what gives us the 46.2%. So basically, slide number 5 just gives a summary of what is really happening. Now, Honorable Chair, if we move to slide number 6, it's basically a breakdown of all the programs in the department, their allocations, as well as expenditure and the percentages. So basically, we are now just unpacking the 46.2%. This is where I'm going to be then slotting in the reasons behind some of these numbers. The first program there is administration, which is up there 76%, international affairs and trade, which is a program that mainly deals with our international relations within from a communications perspective. Then we have the policy development and the enterprise development branch. That's where most of the SOEs are housed. infrastructure development, 282, sitting at 11.5 there, and the PNC. Now, Chair, before I just go into some of the reasons, I must indicate that given that I've already indicated that the 70% of the budget of the department goes to the entities, what then happens is that before beginning of each financial year, entities compile what we call drawdown schedule. Now, these drawdown schedules is basically projections from the entities in terms of how they are going to be needing or drawing funds from the department for the entire financial year. Now, before any transfer is effected to the entity, we look at, of course, the drawdown schedule, but the main thing would be the readiness of the entity to accept the money. And on the basis of the request from the entity and the motivation, the funds are released. And the releasing of the funds, that is purely based on the performance. Now, I must indicate one thing, Chair, that we are a very, I would not say unique, but of course there are other departments that operate on a similar model, like the DOC, for example, DPE, wherein they also have to release funds to the entities. Now, of course, the department, through its shareholder management, monitors the performance of the entities and recommend corrective measures. But where there are challenges, for example, an entity is not yet ready to receive the money because of there could be a reason behind that. It's always important to us as a department to make sure that we address the challenges prior to just releasing money because we want to appear good in the books. I'll give specific examples with some of the entities that had problems that minister had to intervene. And in that stage, it would then be difficult to release money because we just are chasing compliance and meeting the timelines that have been put in the drawdown schedules. The second factor, which also impacts on the performance of the entities, which has got a bearing on the financial capability or the ability to utilize the resources, has been the issue of stability. For example, the honorable members and chair would notice that some of the entities had challenges. For example, some of the boards had to be released. There were no executives in some areas, for example, institutions such as USAS and so on. And these are the areas that the minister has had to intervene in. I think moving on, Chair and Honourable Members, to the next slide, I think that's slide number 8. That just gives the overall picture in terms of the quarterly performance building up to the third quarter, and that's where we derive the 46.2% from, basically indicating how various programs within the department have performed and so on. I won't go through the numbers, but I think it's important just to focus mainly on the reasons. Now, on slide number 9, Honorable Chair, I think that's where really the rubber hits the road, because that's where the 70% is. If you look at ICASA, for example, as at December, they were in line with their drawings, meaning that whatever that was left out of the 330, they were going to use it in the last quarter. NEMISA the same, USASA, the agency, because there are two components at USASA. It's just basically the agency, and this 83 million talks to the operational expenditure.
Excuse me, PJ, you know, we don't want to interrupt when people are presenting. Now, the reasons for underspending or overspending is staying in line. But it doesn't tell us anything as members, because we just want to see the figures. If it's in line, is it 75%, 73, 72, 76? Now, we don't see anything from there. And, we'd like to see those figures. If they're in line, how much is in line? I don't know if there's another slide that will come and correct clear that for us.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe if I can just explain and I appreciate the comment that the chair has made. Like I did mention earlier on that when we start, for example, ICASA will give us a plan for the year, which then says how are they going to utilize resources within the financial year for the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and the fourth quarter. Now, we might have just omitted this chair, but basically what we're saying is that the fact that USASA had withdrawn ICASA had withdrawn 232 million. It's what was projected according to the drawdown schedule. So basically, they were on time, if I may put that. Perhaps in the future, what we may need to do is just to share with the committee the schedule on the drawdown, so that the committee can actually see how much entities are requiring within the financial, which I think will also help the committee to get a more clearer picture in terms of how the entities are performing going forward. Now, going forward, Chair, on USAF fund, this is one of the biggest components within the budget of 1.4 billion. Set of boxes. Just to this. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, apologies for using some of this. It's a universal service fund. Yeah. Now the universal service fund is mainly catering for the set-top boxes subsidies. That's really the biggest component here, Honourable Chair and Members, and some of the projects that USASA is pursuing. Now, it's one of the biggest components of this 1.4 billion. Now, this money could not be transferred to USASA, to USAF. Well, USASA and USAF, in fact, they're just housed under one roof. It's just that they're two separate kitties under the agency. Now, honorable members and chair would also recall that there were wide media reports on some of the things that were happening at USASA in relation to financial mismanagement and so on. And obviously, towards the end of last year, the minister had to intervene. Two things happened. The board had to be released, and of course, some measures were put in place where minister had to put executive caretakers. Now, in this process, even though the department was very much conscious that the money had to be transferred to USASA, this could not happen because of the fact that if you are just walking into an agency where things have just gone wrong, it becomes very difficult to just throw the money at them simply because there's a drawdown schedule, but rather measures be put in place to ensure that the same money does also not develop the wings and legs. So that's the main reason why USASA could not move. On support subsidy, by December they were in line. They had been given 135 million. SABC was also on in line. Channel Africa in line. On Centec, they had only received 100 million. There was a bit of a delay on Centec, the reason being that there was an issue around the revision of the DTT standards. And of course, I think it's important to mention to the members that the money that goes to Centec, the bulk of it purchases infrastructure. That is going to be driving the DTT. Now, this infrastructure, most of the components are sourced from abroad. Now, Centec gave us a schedule. We were due to transfer the money to them, but because the equipment had not yet been received, the entity then indicated that they were not ready to receive the money. Rather, they will start to pay in the fourth quarter of the financial year. And I think also exercising financial discipline here, also taking into account PFMA requirements, the department could not also just say, let's throw money at Centec because we want to appear good in the books. We had to look into those factors to say, if we throw money there and tomorrow this money has been directed to something else that was not meant for DTT, obviously the Auditor General would have a problem And I'm definitely sure that if the Auditor General were to come and indicate to the committee that the department actually was irresponsible by sending money when it was needed, I'm definitely sure the committee will agree with the AG. On their part, it was in line. The money was going to be transferred in the last quarter, which indeed happened. .ZA Domain Name Authority also, and the skills levy, which is just a small component within the department. So basically, this is how the 70%, which is 1.4 billion, was spent as at 31st of December 2012.
The slide 9. On the Nepal, why is it empty on the actual transfer as the 31st?
I'll be trying to add up these figures to check exactly that as well, to what is happening. It says the comment is that it's in line with drawings, and we don't know what that means. So it means that according to that operations schedule, means that they were not going to transfer for 9 months until the last quarter.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Member, for the question. Maybe I must just indicate that NEPAT is it's a small program within the department that deals with it's not really within the department, but it focuses on specific projects. So what basically happens is that every year there is a transfer to NEPAT for those projects. Now, what they do in the initial part of the year is to engage in preparatory work, which does not necessarily require money at that stage. They engage all sorts of services, and most of the payments they then start falling through towards end of the financial year. And that's why we're saying it's in line with drawings, even though nothing was transferred. It's simply because the transfer was going to be effected in January to cater for those projects, because this money is the project driven. It's not really the issue of having to cover for things like salaries and so on. And they focuses on SADC matters and so on. So it's mainly project-based kind of a transfer, not necessarily to cover for things like salary and operational expenditure. And I think, Chair, we also do appreciate the comment to say perhaps in the future what we will need to do as an appendix or as an attachment, we may need to just put a drawdown schedule of each entity and show how they will be requiring funds throughout the financial, because I think that information will help the committee to see who is falling behind. And of course, then when we come to the committee, we can just give the reasons as to why certain entities are in line and certain entities are falling behind. And Chair, I think lastly what we thought we would do, which is not really what we are required to do here, and I think the DG has already spoken about this, we thought we would just give the committee a sense of where we are or where we were by close of the financial year. I think the DG has already spoken about that figure of 89.2%. And I know Chair did allude to a situation earlier on to say most of the departments by end of third quarter, they are somewhere down there. And at the end of the financial year, they are 100%. I must indicate, Chair, that in our case, it's not the question of, like I did mention, Chair, that we look at the readiness of the entities to receive the money and to be able to use that money appropriately. Most of our entities, they do procure, for example, they have to engage, for example, Centec and so on, SABC, they have to engage in a bit of lengthy procurement processes. And we prefer that when they receive the money, they can effect payments, because the challenge is that if we transfer the money and it sits in the accounts of entities, and more especially the ones that were challenged with financial or the ones that had financial difficulties, it becomes a problem, because once the money disappears or something happens, it can create a bit of a chaos. Not to say that there are no systems, but it's always fair that entities receive money that they are ready to use, not just to pile up there. Because once we do that, in our books, it appears good, but on the other hand, it's not right. So, Chair, I think that is the long and short of our story. I think the DG can do the next one.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Sam. I think what we can really confirm, Chairperson, is that despite the low start, the department's expenditure increased in the last quarter, as Sam has alluded to, mainly because of some of the transfers that we were able to release. And the key area where we were not able to spend, and the Chair spoke to the issues with regard to the 112 project. Because the project was stopped in 2009, we had to restart the process. And unfortunately, a PPP is a very lengthy process because it involves the treasury, and there are a number of steps where before you can move on to this, treasury must approve. You, in terms of your own planning, you can think that it can take you a week to get treasury approval, but unfortunately, you don't have control of what happens within treasury, and you find that some of the milestones, you know, instead of being a week, it ends up being 3 weeks, and this is really what happened. But we can confirm to date, Chairperson, that the 112 tender, I think, was released, when was it? Finally, with the support of National Treasury, was it in March or April?
Yeah.
I know it's closing in during the month of May. So within this financial year, we should finally, after so many, many years, Chairperson, have a service provider for the 112 project, and the project will definitely go live in this financial year. It's one of the projects that when I joined the department in 2006, it's at that time people were not even talking about it. It was one of those things that you don't speak about. You know, at home when you know you've got a secret that you don't say it, but you know you've got your own secret. So I believe that 112 is one of those projects that has got a long history, but we are definite that we've managed to pull it off. So we can, Chairperson, in our next appearance, be able to provide a feedback. Hopefully, I don't know when we'll be appearing, but we should be able to, report on the appointment of a service provider by that time. Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mashiko, Honourable Swart, and Honourable
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm coming to the NEPAD one. I think the reason must be refined, because we always have departments which seem to have overspent and tell us that it's because this money was needed by this time. But if we don't see anything reflected and is set in line, they can rather explain that it has to be transferred in the third quarter and not say in line, so that you know that it's not underspending. But when they say in line and nothing is spent, that's underspending.
They
must just explain it like other departments say. Department of Education tells us that we've transferred everything because it's needed by this time of the year. Then we know that it has to be done that way. But if it's like this, really we wouldn't be responding properly to what we're supposed to responding to as far as spending is concerned.
Now, you're right, Honorable Mashiko. The Treasurer's report says the transfer could not be done. Transfer payment couldn't be done to NEPAD due to delay in submitting the necessary documents. So this report is not accurate as it stands. Because National Treasury is saying something else, and the department is saying something else. Honorable Soft.
Chair, thank you very much. I understand the problem with drawings, and that you know, we must look at when the people want to draw down. That's normal. But if you look at the Fourier's figure, you will see that you know, the department spend 100% of their transfers and subsidies, which is what we expect them to do. But that is not part of what the department does. In other words, it's not part of the department's job. And then it worries me that if they've transferred everything out, the 100% at the end of the year, you know, what does the department spend money on? 64% on current payments, 61% on capital payments. I don't know. I would like to know, Chair, what this payment for financial assets, what that is for, at 2.12 million. But then they come to 89.5%, which is still 200 million below the budget expenditure. That is after they've transferred everything they should be transferring. So the question is, do we approve of the new budget, given the fact that they're not spending money on the areas that they should be spending it on?
Chair, can I just add to that so that the DG can respond together? You see, one can have understanding, Chair, for what's been told to us in terms of slide 9, the underspending. But now, you see, what I can't understand, and maybe I need some explanation, is in a matter of 3 months, all the money has been transferred, which is what Honorable Swati is saying. Now, was it fiscal dumping, just to make sure that all the money gets out of the department's vote to these entities? Because if you look at USAF, projects withheld due to forensic investigations. Now, what, 240 million was withheld. Now, what happened in the last 3 months for that money to be transferred to them? Was that forensic investigation completed? What was the outcome of that forensic investigation? Even with...
Thank you, Chair. If you look at the expenditure trends on economic classifications, then I think the department will agree with me that it doesn't look good. And but my question is actually, payment of capital assets, what is the problem there? I know that they have explanations here, but where is the biggest challenge for him, or where were the biggest challenges for them in the last 3 months? Because I want to find out if the whole South Africa is now, the reception, is it good? Is there still places that needs development strategies? And if there is money not being spent, where is that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. My question is, Chairperson, the entities that are receiving transfers, how is it that they plan to spend the money that's being transferred to them in the fourth quarter? Why is that? And then, is the ICT policy of the department in place?
Thank you, Chairperson. When the department was here, they told us that there were no standards for DDT That was during the last quarter, first quarter report. And today you are still saying the Santec is delayed due to the revised DDT standards and relevant regulations. If you can clarify that one, because it has been quite some time, for a year, something could have been done, because I think this is very important, as you say, it has to do with reaching the people, because through digital migration, more people will be able to access communication, I think. So if it was delayed during the last third quarter report and is still under revision and regulations have to be done, if you can understand a little bit of this and the purchase of these infrastructure things, what are they that are being purchased overseas? And the due date for this digital migration was, when was it? 2015 was the deadline for the digital migration globally. So how will we achieve it, and how much is budgeted for the DTT?
Thank you, Comrade and Honourable Members. Dichi, over to yourself.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Members, for the questions. One of the things that we really want to confirm is that we were not alerted to the under expenditure at the end of the quarter three. I think we started picking it up from as early as quarter one, which is end of June. What then had happened from our side was to start efforts to engage both internally to understand from the relevant project managers the rationale, and to ensure that there is support with regard to the department's procurement committee in ensuring that the committee meets on a regular basis to interrogate and engage on submissions that were tying up the expenditure. But that process, that which was internal, was also supported externally through our own engagement with entities to understand why they were not requesting money as has been requested. So it takes time when you pick up an expenditure, an under expenditure, to get to a point where it's rectified, because some of that requires still, it's about where you discover that people have not even documented things like the terms of reference that are required to first serve at the Department Procurement Committee, and then that gets issued, which has got a turnaround time of, I think it's 30 days before you get submissions. Then you still have to go through an evaluation process, and by the time you've appointed a service provider, you've got a contract. That's a number of months. So that was the challenge that we faced, both internally, that is within the department, but also externally, that is within our own entity. Like one classic example, and I recall the one meeting we had with the CEO of Centec, was it around October or November, where we were now following up. It was a regular engagement. We're following up on progress with regard to the appointment of a service provider, which is the service provider they appointed for the installation of the transmitters, which is what they use for the DTT signal. And, you know, it even involved us even engaging the board to ensure that by the time that the executive is ready with the appointment of the service provider, you know, there can be a special board meeting to engage on ensuring that, if I recall, same, that approval is provided for. So it takes time to rectify, but because we picked up the problem not in the third quarter, we picked it up as early as the end of first quarter, and the end of second quarter, the problem was still there. It was now about ensuring that the processes that we are monitoring with the entities and the department of the procurement processes were underway, and the, like, for example, the one classic example with Centec was that they would be ready with the service provider that they've appointed So, which then is what some are talking about, that is the drawdown schedule to ensure that when you transfer the money, the entity is also ready to spend the money, especially with regard to Centec. The issue of the standard has been resolved. Yes, we did previously report that there was a delay with the standard. During 2009 and 2010, there was a process of reviewing the standard of the data transmission. That is, instead of moving from, instead of being DVB-T to ISDB-T, which is the European to the Japanese standard. But that process eventually was resolved through SADC, and SADC, where we were also in that meeting as South Africa, approved the DVB-T to standard in, it was in November 2010. What had then happened is when we came back was to engage our entities, especially entities like Centec. If you recall, part of the money that was not spent in the 9-10 had to do with the transmission for the digital television broadcasting. But during the 11 and 12, we then started a process where entities like Centec had to start their own procurement process in terms of procuring the transmitters to get to a point where now they have a service provider, and some of the money, or if not all that, I can't recall the amount, have been paid. But it has been a lengthy process, both internally and externally, to get the procurement processes to move and to get to a point where the money can be released. But another thing, Chair, maybe just to confirm, as much as we can be desperate internally to want to spend, but unfortunately the process has still have to be observed. So, to be observed in terms of the procurement process. So those are the things that I think one has learned, that going forward, which is what we are trying to do better this year, is how do we push our own processes much earlier so that we don't find ourselves in a similar situation this year where by the end of the third quarter, we have to catch up with our expenditure, so that we don't find ourselves every year in a crisis management. Because I think what we went through was more, you know, trying to manage the situation because of you know, things had not gone as planned. Can you just look at it?
No, PG, when I was smiling, so it's because I saw you at one stage trying to remind Mr. Vilakazi not to use this acronym. But you're also doing the same, you're falling in the same trap as well. Remember, we're not a portfolio committee. Portfolio committee is familiar with everything, but for us, that is difficult to... But we would like to follow the discussion, and so... Please, if you can use them as sparingly as possible so that we can follow. Because sometimes you get confused. DTT is something else and something else. You know, grid at SADC. Please make us understand, you know.
Thank you very much. I think... going forward, we will put in an extra just explaining the acronyms, because we also had a similar request from the Portfolio Committee on Communications, Chair. I think if I could go into the some of the specific questions, Chair, I'll start with the DTT budget. I think is a question that was asked by Honorable Mashiko. There are three categories mainly on the DTT budget. We have the subsidy for the set-top boxes, and that is the process that is going to be driven by USASA, the Universal Service and Access Agency of South Africa. The budget, total budget required, is about 3.5 billion. Currently what we have, it's about 930 million, but we are in discussions with the Treasury to try and look into that. The second component is SABC. They require a total of about 4 billion, mainly just to build the digital infrastructure. This will include things like studios, a digital playout center, a digital library, and so on, just to make sure that when we migrate, they are able to also participate in that space. They have a shortfall currently, but the discussions are also going on. CENTEC, they have almost the bulk of the, what they require. They need about 783 billion. Currently, they have about 643, shortfall of about 140. So, basically, Chair, the entire budget for DTT, looking at these three entities, because they are the key players, is about 8 billion. But I must say that some part of it is available. The other section is what we are still talking to National Treasury about. On the question of the USAF fund, as to what happened that the money was transferred only in the last, towards the end of the quarter, I must indicate that earlier on, Honorable Chair, we spoke about the fact that there was a forensic investigation at USASA, which obviously then indicated how the funds were used at USASA. And in that period, projects had to be put on hold. During that period, projects had to be put on hold pending the outcome of the investigation. And I must indicate here that the investigation was finalized. There's currently a process, a disciplinary process involving about four of, or so executives. And the projects have now been released. All the preparatory work was done to ensure that USASA was able to implement. And it was only after that process, which in fact took place in the last quarter of the financial year, that projects were beginning to move. And on the basis of that, and systems had to be put in place. In fact, that's a very important point here to mention. And on the basis of that, then there was a determination that funds could be released to USASA. Okay. Maybe let me just explain the relationship, Honorable Chair. USASA is the...
You did explain at the beginning that we said we're not familiar. Maybe if you're speaking to the portfolio committee about USAF and USASA and you mix them, they understand why. But with us, the report says USAF, that's where the forensic investigation is taking place. With USASA, drawings are in line, are on track, in other words. Now, please don't confuse us.
Okay, Chair. No, thank you very much for the question, Chair. I think I'll provide clarity. The USASA budget, which is 83 million, it's mainly meant to cater for operational expenditure. This will include things like salaries of the rental and so on. These are purely operational expenditure. Now, the USAF fund is managed by USASA. Now, this is the fund where operators, mobile operators, USASA is Universal Service and Access Agency of South Africa. Chair, USAF is Universal Service and Access Fund. So this Access Fund is managed by USASA. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's. Can I proceed, Chair? Yeah. So this is a fund where the operators contribute a certain portion that is managed by National Treasury and gets released to USASA to cater for universal access projects. So the reason why we're saying USASA is in line is because in terms of payment of salaries and the operational expenditure, those are the activities, line items that have to happen almost like on a daily basis or on a monthly basis. Whereas USAF, that's where the universal access projects are driven. The subsidies for set-top boxes, the school connectivity, the deployment of access centers and so on. So that's
we want to see teaching. That side of administration, maybe sometimes if you say, no, last month, 2 months, people were not paid, it would be fine. And yeah, we were delivering a service. If it's on track, one day we'll get that report. That's why I'm shaking my head.
Let's get it. Yes, let's get the right. They say where service is supposed to be delivered. They say that one is on track. And they say, no, we forgot to pay people for a month or two. It's fine.
Unfortunately, the unions will eat us alive, but I think it's something that on project, I think we'll try and improve, Chair. Then there was an issue around the payment of capital assets, Chair. I must indicate that within the department, payment of capital assets relate mainly to the expenditure on things like your computers and so on. And that has got a link to the employees. I mean, for example, the DG has indicated that the organization only started now to fill in vacancies and so on. And therefore, of course, that budget caters for those. I think the DG has already spoken to the issue of the transfers to entities, how we go about and how do we monitor their drawdowns and so on. We must indicate, Chair, that in as much as we do try to monitor and make sure that they are in line and so on, you find that there are some isolated incidents where, for example, you will have some leadership challenges that you still have to address before you can actually start, you know, sending money and so on. So those are some of the factors that affect the issue. For example, USASA, it's an example where I did mention earlier on, Chair, that the board had to be released in its entirety. About 5 executives had to be put on suspension. So you literally had no organization because everyone at a senior level, from the CFO to CFO to executives for business development, they were all suspended due to some various reasons that were since addressed by the forensic investigation. I think I'll pause here, Chair, for now.
I just wanted to know the payment of financial assets, which is 2.1 million at the end of the year. I didn't hear the reply. Maybe I'm a bit deaf. But just my question really relates to the actual expenditure by the department, Chair. If you take out the transfers at the end of the year, transfers and subsidies, that 89.5% expenditure, if you take out that transfers and subsidies, which we expect to be 100%, then the department on their own work spent 64.5%. That's at the end of the financial year, 64 instead of 100. So what are they doing about their own work? This is my question.
But I think that, I don't know if one remembers the other comments, but the issue really, DG, that we should be going to now is 12:30. The issue that we should be going to is, we're here. This didn't happen, it was supposed to happen, and what. But like we asked with the previous department, so how do we turn around? What is your plan? You remember that question? Where is your plan? Where is your plan to turn things around? We understand that the board is fired and what, but the work still needs to be done. We must approve your budget on the basis that work will be done. You know, for instance, the issue of the, I thought, Honorable Singh, you would comment on this issue of the emergency call center. It's 112. Every time, when we started yes, when my period here, we as a team, we just started this term, perhaps Mr. Vilagazi was presenting this, Mr. Soldat. They would tell us now the issues of this call center have been rectified now. It's in place now. It's going to spend this year. So what you're saying today is not new. I thought, Mr. Singh, you would draw your attention to that. What we hear today is nothing new. We've heard it before. It's not happening. So that's why we are saying so. But what is your plan now, moving forward? How do we ensure that there is expenditure on the what you call it, on these programs? You dissolve the board. Is there a new board in place that is acting? And if really there are issues of procurement that are related to the dissolution of these structures, so is it enough to suspend those people? What happens? How do we ensure that next month, come the first quarter, the second quarter, the expenditure here will be different? I think that's what we need to address ourselves to. Thank you. Honorable Snell.
Thanks, Chair. I don't know if I'm didn't pick it up in the explanation or not, Chairperson, but my understanding with in-line withdrawings would be in line with the plan that those entities have in place. Okay? So why is it that those entities are planning to spend the bulk of their money in the fourth quarter? Okay. So, but then the other thing is, I didn't hear an answer either about, is that ICT policy in place yet in the department?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you, members, for the questions. We definitely do have a plan, both internally in terms of getting things right in the department, but also with our own entities. And the plan consists of a number of areas. Maybe let me just talk briefly about what we are doing internally in the department. In the department, it consists of two key areas. The first one deals with the strategic planning, where we've now finalized the strategic plan, and it consists of the APP, which is the annual performance plans. Over and above that, what we have also finalized is the project plans. Now, to manage the situation where you pick up an activity has not been achieved at the end of the quarter, what we are doing on a regular basis is to monitor deliverables against the project plans. That is on a monthly basis, through the monitoring and evaluation unit. But this cannot be supported alone without other areas happening. For example, the second part, which deals with leadership, ensuring that we have the leadership right. Like, for example, one of the challenges that one had to experience is that it's not possible to expect branches when you've got just about every level where you've got acting DG. So that level of stability, I think since I've been appointed last year, June, I think I've had that appreciation that it's not possible that you can have a performing department that has got acting DG. So that is the critical layer that the minister has committed to support on ensuring that you've got the stability. Because once you've got a person appointed, it becomes easy to hold them accountable in terms of their performance. The second issue that we're also dealing with is the culture. How do we transform the culture of the department to be one that, drives performance, it's about the work ethic. I think for me it's about getting to a point where government departments can perform, if not above, but on par with the private sector in terms of the culture that we live as in government departments. The third one, which we also picked up even in our own interaction with the risk committee, was the alignment of your annual performance plans with individual performance agreement. Because what we also picked up was that there was a gap. You find that your branch targets are as follows, and that you filter it down to your chief directors.
but then you find that the gap between what you've committed to in the start plan and the business plan and the quarterly report versus what people have agreed to in their performance agreement. So part of that was also that alignment to ensure that now in this financial year, you in every DDG or even including myself, to ensure that my performance agreement is aligned with the APP, and below me there's that alignment, so that what people are committed to and what you're going to measure them is directly related to what is in the strategic plan. And the fourth issue, which we also battled very strongly, is governance. Like, for example, one of the things that we also had to do in the past financial year is to ensure that we have a functioning audit committee. For the first time in the department in this financial year, we actually established a risk committee. Now, we are in a process where the culture of risk management is now, we're embedding it. It's not something that you can do overnight. It's a process where you really have to work on it to get to a point where you start living the culture of risk management. So open above these, these four issues are very, very fundamental. And these are the main areas that will ensure that we deliver as a department. That is the leadership, the culture, and aligning the individual performance agreement with the annual performance plans, and then ensuring that we have effective functioning governance structures, like, for example, your audit committee, your risk committee, your top management, your branch meetings, your chief directorate meetings. Those, in the essence, are the structures that will ensure that we really drive the performance of the department. But over and above that, externally, which is what we are doing with the minister, is the governance. The governance, what we focus on in the last 6 months, was to ensure the stability. Like, for example, we had the board of the post office. The term was expiring end of February. So it was about ensuring that we now, ensure that we have appointed the board. We have an acting CEO at the post office. We don't have a COO. So the process is underway to ensure that we've got the CEO, we've got the COO, and we also have the CFO at the post office. But we had a similar challenge also at the SABC, where we did not have a CFO, we did not have a CEO, we don't have a COO. At least with the SABC, we have the CEO, we've appointed the CFO, we are now in the process of dealing with the COO. Now then, the focus is also on the SASA. So parallel to the whole issue of the stability with the board and the executive is to ensure that even our own entities, the governance structures and all the issues that we are dealing with are also in place to ensure that they can deliver. But because we've learned from the 11 and 12, it's about how do we ensure that even now, as early as now, do we start monitoring the expenditure? Like, I think we would know the expenditure of end of April by mid-May. We then start looking at what are the signs, what are we picking up, are we having red flags, so that what do we do? But even before we even get to that point, we finalize the procurement plan with Treasury that has been submitted. The work now is about, we have a procurement plan on the table, we must start monitoring expenditure against those things. So that is the process that we are definitely busy with, and we do believe and that we should see better results. Whether they would get us to 100% chairperson, one has got the confidence and the hope, to work on that. But one also has got an appreciation that it's a process to transform a department to get to a level where it can be on par with departments that are regarded as performing departments in government. Yes, we are. I see you. But what I also know, Chairperson, is that we have not fully recovered, in effect.
Chairperson, sorry, I mentioned earlier the trends of expenditure. Now, if you look at the Auditor General report, it was at 2.8. A million rand wasteful and irregular expenses in the 2010-2011. Then there was 1.4 wasteful and fruitless. Now, if you look at the trends, we are, and that was also in the last quarter. But that was the Auditor General's report.
And doing the on the supply
Now, I'm a little bit concerned. Are they going to avoid it? Or will we see that again in the report of the Auditor General of this year? That is a big concern. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think what is encouraging to note is that the DG is keen and active interest in the affairs of the SOEs, because there are many departments, you know, where transfers and subsidies make up most of the budget. Like Honorable Swart said, in this case, it's 75% of their total budget of 2 billion rand is transfers and subsidies. What I'd like to know is, how senior a person do you have within your department to ensure that there's constant communication, monitoring, and evaluation of these SOEs? Because you have to transfer the money to them, and you don't just transfer as a matter of course. You transfer because, you know, they put up a business plan and performance plan and things like that. So how senior is your management? Because that kind of monitoring which you just spoke to is very encouraging.
Thank you very much. In terms of the monitoring of the SOEs, that is done by Sam Vilakazu, and he's got a team internally in the department. But because we recognize some of the challenges that we have, that's why we've actually...
is done by him, the monitoring of the entities. All
in terms
the
of the expenditure, the oversight.
All the entities.
Not him alone, he's got a team. One of the positions that I spoke to earlier on, which was advertised in March, was the DDG for SOEs. Initially, we did not have. This is one of the new areas that were approved in the structure, where we've created a branch at the level of a DDG just to focus on our SOEs, because we recognize the challenges. I think it has been quite difficult, I think, for Sam to deal with some of the entities, and including him and the team. But I think they've done exceptionally well, and you know, the fact that we if you look at our work in terms of entities, we had an acting DDG, but we still managed to deliver on some of these issues. I think it's quite commendable from the team. But I would allow Sam to deal with the issue of the irregular expenditure.
Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, I think on the issue of irregular, wasteful, and fruitless expenditure, I must indicate or admit that indeed there were some few areas where we had to encounter or where we encountered fruitless, wasteful, and irregular expenditure. But what has since happened, there are systems, processes, and procedures that have been put in place, and in fact the DG has been taking a lead on this, wherein we started by creating a culture that if people just simply ignore issues of compliance, they may have to pay out of their pockets. And that message is beginning to sink in the department, because some of these things, yes, of course, you'd have situations that where you cannot really avoid this expenditure. But the minute the culture of compliance has been entrenched, people begin to take these things serious. For example, I mean, you have situations whereby, let's say, a person is booked into a hotel. If they do not know that, if I do not show up at that hotel, nothing will happen to me. They can just cancel last minute, and you know, life goes on. But if they know that there are consequences for not showing up, then the money gets taken from their salaries. So that culture, it's quite, and even on the irregular expenditure, I mean, when payments are effected, all the checks and balances are done to make sure that whoever has flouted the rules, documents go back, no processing is done. So it is really as strict as that. And I think going forward in the future, we're going to see almost zero irregular and fruitless expenditure in the department. Thank you, Chair. Okay, Chair, maybe just to give an indication in terms of still on the issue of fruitless and the regular expenditure. We are almost, in fact, I must say that at this point in time, where we are sitting in the department, we are dealing with a very, very small figure in the history of the department in terms of the wasteful and fruitless expenditure. And that very same figure on the wasteful and fruitless chain, we do not just, for example, say it's fruitless and therefore we forget about it. We go up to the last point where we recover the money. So basically, once you get to that mode, you are going to close the books at almost zero balance of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. That is the approach we're taking. It's very painful, but unfortunately something that has to be done in the department.
If I can just comment, I mean, I think by the time we presented the annual report and when we deal with the AG report, we would be able to present an improvement, which will testify to why I'm saying the department is definitely out of the ICU, because from the interim report that we have from the AG, there's definitely a substantial improvement, including what Sam was talking about, even things like irregular expenditure. Like one of the things that there were challenges previously was the fact that, you know, something as simple as having an evaluation committee or specification committee, those are some of the governance and issues that we had to establish, you know, to ensure that when you procure, you don't start the procurement at the point where you have to submit things at your, you know, procurement committee. You follow the process so that by the time you finalize it, it minimizes your output in terms of errors. But I think we would be able to deal with the annual report properly, and we can also deal with the AG report, Chairperson. Thank you very much. Chairperson, I think on behalf of the department, we would really want to thank you and the members, and we would definitely welcome an invitation again so that we can demonstrate, you know, the progress. We appreciate the interaction, but we are looking forward to a follow-up meeting with the committee. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Tichi. We gave you our report, you know. We're really not supposed to be doing that. But we gave it to you so that you can look at your performance for the past 3 years. So, and the reason for that is clear, that we really want... we appreciate the fact that you're saying you are not in the ICU, you're spending something out of it. But... if you look at the patterns of spending, clearly there are challenges. But we appreciate the fact that you're saying you're beginning to cut down on the acting. And I hope that by the time we meet with you, there will be a CFO in the department. But generally, you can have umbango in the department. We must have a proper functioning department. We know how the nature of the people. This is acting. And people under him will tell him that, no, you don't tell us. But I'm not sure the message that you are saying, but even from the sides, the senior management, at the senior management level, even at the lower, what you call, level down there, there's a lot of acting. I think that it's something that really should be your first, what you call, a target. We're clear that at the senior management level, there are posts. You want to have appointments by June, as you indicated to us. But the other issue that I think was raised by us is the issue of... Thank you very much. The other issue that was raised... Now we're going to M46. Yeah. The other issue that was raised, you know, is that of the capacity to, if you have these entities, and you said that Mr. Vilakazi has got a team, but we think that you need to develop the capacity to look after these entities. Correctly, you're mentioning that you noticed from the beginning of the first quarter that there are challenges. But if we notice we don't have the capacity to monitor, then what do you do about it? There's nothing that you can do about it. It's important that that area as well is stabilized. But also, I think we appreciate the fact that you're beginning to address the challenges that the Auditor General raised, issues of risk management, internal audit, and what else, at all those areas, you are the issues of governance. You are addressing them. we think that maybe if those areas are addressed, I think that all the things that you are telling us that you're doing will really take the department forward. But we would like you, DG, to give us in writing those challenges, that turnaround strategy in inverted commas, you know, this is what you would like to have it in writing. How soon can we have it, DG? Is it ready? Is it work in progress? You want to speak on the mic?
Honorable Chairperson, it's work in progress, but we can submit it, but it has to go through the Office of the Minister to be submitted here. We'll talk to the Minister to submit it.
Yeah, we would like to also, we must be satisfied that we don't want to find the department at the same level in this new year, 2012-2013. There must clearly be a difference, but as the status quo will not take us forward, but your plan will really take us forward. So I think these are the areas perhaps that we need to look at. And I think the members did indicate, for instance, that with your report, it's not sufficient for us, for instance, in your report, you say, no, the people are in line with the with their drawdowns. But we must know how much have they set themselves to do, where are they now, so that we are able to say with that, are they really achieving or with the targets that they have given themselves? Are they giving targets that will enable them to work at the end of the day? I think that the big issue to us is that I guess the portfolio committee has approved your annual performance plan. Now, that should also assist us in terms of, it can only assist us in terms of monitoring what you intend doing. But what we would want to do, I think this issue around monitoring to ensure that it's building capacity within the department. I think that is the main thing, so ensuring that, because we are informed that 75% of your budget is on transfers. It means that somebody must really be able to monitor that. I think that, honourable members, I think we have covered the issues that really
been under department. And I don't know where you are in terms of the annual report, but 2010, 2011, you at the end of the year you were at 57%. I don't know, 2011, 12, 89. It is improving, but I think, Mr. Tembo, I know it's not your area. Excuse me. We would want not only the department, that plan that the department is going to give us in terms of their turnaround. It must have the, it must have the support of National Treasury. Well, here we didn't hear much issues around the HR, but I think National Treasury and whoever is involved, but when it comes, it's not the. National Treasury is also able to monitor. On that note, we would like to thank you very much. But some people didn't end their tickets. Maybe they would have to.